Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, T. Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And our discussion this hour, stepping out of a spiritual circle, getting out of the circles, living in your present as a part of your Christian journey. Father Albert Haas, like Mass, is the chaplain at Cedar Break Catholic Retreat in Texas. He's spiritual director and author. You know, when he, because I, you know, I always mess up everybody's name, so that means I really love you. If I can't mess it up, then it's not, you know, ain't no love there. I have to do words like that or names like that, because if I don't, you know, because I get carried away sometime in my chatting, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I done messed this up again. But anyway, it just makes sense, Father Albert, that you would be Mass because that's what you do.
That is what I do, Sharon. But let me tell you, if mispronouncing my last name shows you that you love me, well, now all of a sudden I know there's no love between us, because you hit it right on, you hit the nail right on the head, and I appreciate that.
Well, I'll tell you, before you came on, I had to get the clarity. there's nothing worse.
Well, you know, you probably don't remember this, but I was on your show about maybe 6 years ago.
Well, you know what?
When I wrote a book called Coming Home to Your True Self, Leaving the Emptiness of False Attractions, that was also published by InterVarsity Press, and you had me on your show, and I remember that day you said to me, now, I got to be honest with you, Father, it's not every day a Catholic priest comes on my show.
That's true. You're right. And when we were saying that in the 7 o'clock hour, and because, you know, after all, you had written 10 books, and I'm like, an ex had brought it to my attention. Because he books the guests for me, and you know, it's a lot of y'all cycle back through sometime, and but you know, the more I looked at your name, and the more I was like, you know what, I think I have talked to you before, and it was a very pleasant experience too. I think it was, you know.
It was. I remember it distinctly, and it was a great experience.
Good.
It was.
Very good. Well, I'm glad to have you back. Then how have you been since the last time we talked?
I'm doing really, really fine. You know, the last time we talked, I was still living on the road, going across the country, mm-hmm. preaching here, preaching there. Every year I flew on United Airlines about 170 times.
Wow.
I have 1.4 million
wow.
frequent flyer points on United.
Wow.
And then last year I got this wonderful opportunity from the Catholic Bishop in the Diocese of Austin, Texas, to become the chaplain of their retreat center here in Temple, Texas. So now if people want to hear me preach, they got to come to me rather than me going to them. So it's been a great experience here at Cedar Break Catholic Retreat Center in Temple. So I'm living a dream, Sharon.
That
I'm living
wonderful.
A dream.
Well, you certainly have earned it, and that's for sure. And you sound just absolutely wonderful. And you know, now I'm looking at the cover of this sacred moment. I remember I enjoyed you so much. I'm glad to have you back with me today.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, definitely. Now, since when I made that statement to you about Catholic priests, I have had several on. Since then, and we have nearby us St. Vincent Catholic Church. Good morning to the St. Vincent family. They, listeners and supporters, and they have a beautiful prayer breakfast every year, and they ask me to be the MC, so I'm with them at least once a year, Father.
Well, Sharon, and let me tell you something. Then you and I have a connection.
Really?
Because I spent a summer as a young seminarian at St. Vincent's.
Really?
In Nashville.
Shut
yeah.
Up.
So I know I remember a lot of my friends from St. Vincent. Sure.
That is too close for comfort right there, man.
The world's getting small.
It really is. It really is. Well, that is beautiful. So we got to give them a shout out this morning right down from us. Oh, that's fabulous. Now, with your million plus miles, what are you going to do with them?
Well, you know what I have oftentimes done? I shouldn't be saying this because I don't mean to sound like I want to brag.
Uh-huh.
But now three times I have helped children who have been very sick to help fulfill a little dream of theirs. And so I've oftentimes given some of my miles away to strangers I don't even know, but people who want to make a dream come true for a little sick child or something like that. So I'm happy, and I'm happy to do it. I mean, you know, we gotta spread the love around,
yes.
especially
yes.
in this day and age.
No kidding.
And so in any small way that I can help somebody's life be a little bit brighter, mm-hmm. I'm more than willing to do it.
Cause,
you know, when it all comes down to it, Sharon,
mm-hmm.
this is what we all are called to be. We're all called to be a candle spreading some light. And
mm-hmm.
the only way you can spread your light is by giving up your wax.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what
Lord.
I try to do.
Amen. Say that now. And that's, you know, part of the problem, Father Albert, is people not wanting to give up the wax. And they want, you know, they want to hold it and hold it and hold it. And keep their candle under their basket so nobody can see their light shine, and hang on to everything and not help anybody or be so selfish in their help, you know, drizzle.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it just is. And since you have traveled and you are feeling the happiness and fulfillment that you are now, over this time frame from when you did the traveling until now, have you noticed a difference in that people's attitudes or their optimism or lack thereof around you globally?
Well, you know, I think certainly when people find out that I'm a follower of Saint Francis, I'm a Catholic priest. So when people find out that I'm a Franciscan priest, they right away feel an instant connection to us. Because I don't know if you know it or not, but, you know, we Franciscan priests, we have always been just a little bit on the fringes. We like to push the envelope. And so people who are more, say, religiously conservative
mm-hmm.
might feel a little bit uncomfortable with us.
Hmm.
But people who are more kind of, you know, in need, or people who might be struggling in their lives, those are basically the people that we tend to be attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the 13th century with St. Francis, he always ministered to the lepers of his day. And
mm-hmm.
so in our Franciscan tradition now, we always look for the contemporary lepers. And those are the very people on the fringes who we try to drag into the center. Because that's really what Jesus did in his life. Jesus went to the periphery.
Yes.
He went to the margins, and he got those public sinners, and he brought them to the center, and he sat down, and he ate with them, much to the chagrin mm-hmm. of the people who considered themselves religious and holy in their day.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of that, you know, going on now. So much.
Oh, can I tell you something?
Yes.
You know, I just came back, and if I start crying, Sharon,
it's
please
all right.
forgive me.
That's all
but
right.
I just came back from the border,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
it's so sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to deal with, how to respond to that situation.
Yes, yes.
But if people actually saw
mm.
what's going on there and how people are being treated,
yes, yes.
I just pray each and every day
yes.
that God will raise up a prophet or two
Please.
And really and challenge all of us Christians to do whatever we can. And if we can't support people physically or financially, we can always support them with prayer. And we can pray and ask God to change some of the hearts in this country. Because I'm sad. Mm-hmm. I am sad and sad to say this is not the America I grew up in. And I thought the days of our darkness were over.
Lord.
And I'm thinking, no way, it is a beginning all again now.
Sir. It truly is. It truly is. And you know, Father Albert, it's like the lambs are getting led to slaughter in this. The people who and the church is sitting in it, the evangelical right church is sitting in it and has not said anything. And that is so repulsive to me.
Sharon, it's not just the evangelicals. It is Christianity across the board.
Oh, you're right.
Across the board. I mean, I don't care. You know, the American bishops came out with a statement against what's going on at the border. But talk is cheap. I'm sorry.
True.
We got to start putting our feet where our words are calling us to.
Yes.
And that's what we're not doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just the evangelicals. It is everybody across the board.
That's
and it's
true.
Kind of like, when are we going to start putting the message of Jesus? When are we going to start living that message in a strong, vital way?
That's true. That's particularly because this is supposed to be allegedly a Christian nation.
Amen.
Allegedly.
But I'm not so sure.
Yeah, me
I'm
either.
Not so sure. You know, when we say one nation under God,
right.
I sometimes think we have put God under.
Right. Rather
than us putting ourselves
there
under
it
God.
Is. There it is. And that is so, you know, it just tears your heart apart watching, you know, these families just torn to shreds. And people standing by and looking at them like they're cattle. But in my head, in my mind, it was almost the same type of look and stance that slave masters had over slaves, because we were chattel, we were furniture, we were plows, we were objects. We were not human beings. We were not seen as human beings. And I see that same mindset that's crept into people when they look at a whole race of people and those folks that are there trying to seek refuge and help and for them to be subjected to that unhuman behavior in the year 2019. You know, this is not 1426. This is 2019. I mean, really.
Exactly, and that's why I said I thought these days of darkness were over.
Yes.
You know, I thought it was all over, and I mean, God bless the work of Dr. King, but I mean, I think that all of us have to continue that message of Dr. King and remind every single person that every person is equal, and every person has a right to dignity, and every person has a right to live where they doggone want to live, and everybody has the right to have food and to have a fair opportunity in life. I mean, I thought these days were over.
Right.
And it's like now they're just continuing, and now we're just focusing on a different race of people. And it's just when you see what's going on down there, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, we have people in cages.
Mm-hmm.
We have people in cages.
Mm-hmm.
It just breaks my heart. Breaks my heart.
So the there's a lot of there's some pastors all over the nation that have been gathering, and I had another one that was on the show not so long ago that's been down there with the pastor from North Carolina that's been doing a lot of things praying, and I can't think of his name, but you all have just keep doing what you're doing, because it's greatly appreciated for those that can't go and can't, you know, see it with our own eyes, because as a parent and grandparent and great-grandparent, my heart breaks to think that the children are snatched and, you know,
right.
things people are snatched and grabbed and just treated like property. Now, I can relate
right.
to, I can understand that because, you know, I'm a black woman and I know history. But I'm just saying the mindset, that the mindset of people that think that's okay That's wicked beyond measure.
Now, it is a medieval mindset. It is on the wrong side of history, Sharon. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. And let me tell you something. And I want to just say this again, because I do happen to believe in the power of intercessory prayer. Please remember, if you can't go to the border, and if you don't have money to help contribute to the different charities that are doing good work at the border, you can always pray.
Amen.
And we gotta pray for the conversion. We gotta pray for the change of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta pray for people who have hardened hearts who can justify this. We gotta pray that their hearts be struck by the grace of God. Because it's only gonna be the grace of God that's gonna change it.
Oh yes now. Oh yeah. X, what you want to say?
Yeah, it feels so refreshing to hear you say that, sir.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Sharon had a guest on about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago, and he is self-proclaimed an evangelist, and he goes and he spreads the gospel. And you know, I brought up some things about you know what we see coming out of this administration, and he didn't want to touch it. And when I say he didn't want to touch it, he just totally wanted to ignore it and just say, well, you know, his name means king in this Old Testament setting.
No, he called him the chosen
one. And they laid, you know, do you remember they laid hands on him, and he said he felt something like he's never felt before. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, it's like the people on the right, when you bring up the things that are coming out of this administration that's setting the tone, they just don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear it. It's just sort of just, I'm like, but where's the righteousness in this? You all supposed to be the people who are standing up for God and standing up for the little people. You know, why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? I mean, what is going on? I mean, this.
Well, you know, Mr. Lawson, you have hit the nail right on the head. And I don't understand how anybody, I don't care how anybody interprets the Bible, whether you're a fundamentalist or whether you're one of these, you treat the Bible as just plain old literature. I don't care. If you are a Christian, there is no way you can read the Bible and then justify what's going on. I'm sorry. Mm. There's no way. There's no way.
Mm. Well, and you know what the crazy part, Father Albert, is? They're trying to justify it. You know, they're trying to justify it with the stupidity of fear and ignorance. And that to me is rampant. And at the very center of all this craziness, this hard-heartedness and stubbornness that's going on, is fear and ignorance. And fear and ignorance seem to be selling. People can make money off of it. They can they're profiting from it. So therefore, you know, they are cashing in like crazy on this thing. I'm going to tell you what really personally keeps me renewed is knowing that God is in control.
Oh, amen.
If I did not have that to cling on to, I probably would have already done turned myself into the, it just is too much. It's too heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy for a lot, everybody and or a lot of people, because it ain't heavy for everybody.
You know, it sounds like they've thrown God under the bus for power.
Yes.
Be the thing that is driving every what the scriptures say, the love of money is the root of all evil. So to have power and to now God is second nature, and now you justify the bad behavior by just sort of ignoring it. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Well, up until it comes home to roost.
but will it? You know,
I
think it's important.
Stop.
It's important for all of us to remember, because I'm glad to hear you say that, Sharon. That we need to always remember God is still in control.
He's on the throne,
and
baby.
Jesus is still Lord and Savior.
Yes,
but you know what? It's time for us now. It's time for us now to be the hands and the voice and the eyes of Jesus to the contemporary world, and to help him to build this kingdom that he's trying to build, and that we, because of our prejudice, our ignorance, and our fear, and our love of money, we continually try to destroy the foundation.
Well, you about to preach in here today. Did
I'm
you
so
know
glad
that?
To hear you
oh,
say
I'm
that.
Sorry.
I
feel so
that.
Deeply about this, and after coming and seeing what's going on down there, it's like how can I respond?
Father Albert, you do not apologize for saying the truth on this program, okay? That's why it's called What's the 411? because we don't play. This is like, I'm Sunday morning. I know I'm talking to the Father's children. I know who I'm talking to. They're used to hearing this. So you go on and say what's on your mind. And you in good company because they know I do. They know straight up. When I got something to say, it's said. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. And being brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know African American men are more likely to develop and die from prostate cancer than any other population? Thanks to Astellas Pharma USA, Nashville General Hospital is pleased to offer no-cost prostate cancer screenings for men over 40. Call 615-391-4227 and make an appointment today. It could save your life. 615-341-4227. Sonia, you know it's about to get super busy here at the radio station.
Well, why is that, Miss Kay?
Well, WFSK's annual 48-hour radiothon is coming up in October, and you know time goes by so very fast.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Miss Kay. I volunteered last year as a part of Fisk University student internship here at the radio station, and I enjoyed meeting all of the really nice people who volunteered or gave a donation to support the radio station.
I always say this is where the community gathers to support WFSK. And most importantly, Sonia, that love and support helps us sustain WFSK, and they do it year after year.
Well, I'm all in then.
If you're interested in being a volunteer at WFSK's 48-hour radiothon, please call our office at 615-329-8754. That's 615-329-8754. WFSK's 48-hour around-the-clock radiothon is Friday, October 4th through Sunday, October 6th.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University, and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Also brought to you by Metro General Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This morning, returning guest.
You're not going to let it go now.
No, no, see, I got you. You in my sight now, okay. Because I remember your happy, infectious smile. Your smile is just so infectious. I looked at your photo on this press stuff, and I was like, man, that cat's done discovered something, really. You know, God's it with that man, for real. He truly is. Father Albert Mass. Albert Hass.
Oh, there it is. All right.
He's a chaplain of Cedar Break Catholic Retreat in Texas, spiritual director and author. And he's authored more than 10 books and so many other things as well. But today's book that we're going to get to here shortly is Becoming an Ordinary Mystic, Spirituality for the Rest of Us. And just to close out the last segment in our discussion, Father Albert, for people who are confused and don't know God and how he operates and don't understand because they're not on the frequency with the Father, can you give them just some quick encouragement of how, you know, to stay strong during times that are completely upside down and uncertain?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, that is always a challenge for all of us. But, you know, this is what hope is all about. Mm-hmm. And we have to always be aware of the fact that in the end, God's going to get his will done. Come hell or high water, it's going to be done. And come hell or high water, God will always triumph, mm-hmm. and he'll always conquer all. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that can be a real difficult thing to believe in and to hope in. I can remember I was 13 years old, and my father committed suicide. Mm-hmm. My mother was 43 years old. She had been a stay-at-home mom all her life. Mm-hmm. And so she now had three of her five kids, still at home that she had to raise. Mm-hmm. After Daddy's funeral, we found out that he had amassed a $60,000 debt that was not canceled with his death. So we had to sell the house. We had to sell the car. I mean, we were poor, poor, poor. Mm-hmm. But you know what? And my mother kept on saying, time and time again, she kept on saying, God is going to get us through. We are not going to despair. We are not going to give up. Mm-hmm. And God got us through. And I can still remember, I was a missionary in mainland China for 11 and a half years. And mm-hmm. I came back to the United States in the year 2004. And by this time, my mother had Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. And so I went to visit her. And when I walked into her room, and I said, Mama, it's Albert. And she, I could tell by the way she was responding to me, she didn't have a clue who I was. Mm. But, you know, we Hasses, we have a wonderful acting ability. So she made it appear that she knew who I was. And all of a sudden, I saw the light go on in her eyes. Mm. And she looked at me and she said, you know, with all your big fancy degrees, with your PhD in theology, you still haven't learned the one lesson in life. And then she said it in that slow, halting voice of an Alzheimer's patient. She says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow and they don't reap, but God takes care of them. And you know, Sharon, that was the last message my dying mother gave to me, to hang on to that faith in God. Mm-hmm. And that's really for all of us. When the times get dark in our lives, when we feel totally abandoned by God, when we feel like we just can't connect with God, or maybe our lives are riddled in sinfulness and vice, please, let's never, never forget, God never gives up on us. Amen. Never, never, never. And I don't care even if the institutional church says that God has given up on you. God cannot.
Yes.
God cannot, because God is love, period. Now, I'm preaching. So I'm going to shut up.
No, you do that. That's what you're here for.
No, but I believe it so firmly, you know, because especially in these times, you know, we feel so frustrated and we feel so helpless, especially about what's going on. And so it's kind of like, how can I respond? How can I respond? And I keep on saying, intercessory prayer, there is power in prayer.
Amen.
So we can at least do that, and then we hang on to hope.
Amen. Say that now. Let me say this, and then we're going to talk about your book. My Sunday audience is so fabulous that, you know, they want to hear it. So, you know, some people don't have a relationship with the Lord, and some people are on their way to somewhere, you know, faith-based, or on their way to work, or just passing through, or listening on the internet. So, you know, these words of, you know, that are going out, you know, globally and locally, that so whosoever needs to hear them is going to be on our frequency. Okay.
Jesus says, let those who have ears, let them hear.
Yes. So, you know, and the Lord has been good. Father Albert, this show has been on for 18 years.
Okay. You're showing your age now.
Well,
I didn't say
how old I was. I said how old the show is. And, you know, on Sunday morning.
That's wonderful.
That's a blessing. So something's going right, I guess, huh?
That's it. Well, God blesses us when we stick in with Him we are on the God frequency, doors and opportunities open up for us.
Yes, sir. Amen. Now, becoming an ordinary mystic, spirituality for the rest of us. May I say, when I first heard the mystic thing, you know, some people would have a problem with that, because I had to go further reading it. I said, now, mystic, that word religion. I mean, I remember that song by Earth, Wind, and Fire a long time ago about mystics and all that. And some people were like, oh, I don't know. That's that funny stuff. You know, that.
Yeah, right. Well, I think what happens is so many of us, when we think of a mystic, we think of somebody who has a highfalutin experience of God. Yeah. Or we think of somebody, you know, who has this esoteric knowledge. Or we think of these people, you know, who are kind of doing this voodoo stuff in their backyards in the afternoons and stuff. But really, what I tried to make, the point that I try to make in the book, and I hope I made it in the book, is simply a mystic is simply somebody who, I'm going to use your language now, a mystic is simply somebody who's on the God frequency. Mm-hmm. And for all of us are called to be on that God frequency. Yeah. And so a mystic is simply somebody who's aware that every moment of my life, God has an ardent longing, and God has an enthusiastic invitation asking me to let Him come more deeply into my life. Right. And that's what a mystic is. Mm-hmm. A mystic is somebody who simply lives with this awareness that we are surrounded by God, and that God is always trying to get a deeper foothold into my life.
So if people thought it was a bad thing, it has absolutely nothing to do with that.
No, because I think any person who claims to be a disciple of Jesus is called to be a mystic, because a disciple of Jesus means that I am open to God's grace and that I am willing to respond to it at each and every moment of our lives. And of course, you know as well as I, sometimes we struggle with that when our worlds get dark, or when we get nervous worried about having to pay the rent, we got to pay the bills. And we begin to get worried, and we begin to kind of lose that God connection. Oh, yeah. This is when we need to remember and reclaim again that grace is always being offered to us, and God is always trying to come more deeply into our lives, and God is always trying to ask us to come to a deeper faith and a deeper trust in Him. Amen. And that's what a mystic is.
Okay, so now y'all got it clear out there? Now, in chapter 1, right here, right now, mindfulness breeds mysticism.
Right.
Mindfulness as in being in the present.
Because it's in the present moment that God is always with us. At every moment of my life, God is speaking to me. And so I need, and what happens, most of us go through life as sleepwalkers, you know? We're not living awake. And this is why in the Bible, you know, in the very first letter, that the first Christian document that we have, which is St. Paul's letter to the first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul talks about the importance of staying awake. And Jesus himself talks about staying awake. Mm-hmm. And the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, sometimes called the book of the Apocalypse, talks about staying awake. And so we need to remember that staying awake doesn't happen by osmosis. Mm-hmm. We have to work at it. And by being awake, I mean being aware that right now, right here, God is asking something of me. Is God asking me right here to be the best host of my radio show? Or is God asking me right now, right here, to be the best guest on What's the 411? Or is God asking me right now, right here, to really listen to what Sharon and I are talking about and maybe opening my heart up to what God is challenging me to do? That's what being mindful is all about. Okay. God speaks every moment of our lives. And so we really need to, I always like to tell people, listen to your life. If you want to hear God speaking, listen to your life. Mm-hmm. Don't make the mistake that I made. Because in early, as a young Franciscan priest, the mistake I made was I walked around with my ears up in the clouds. Mm-hmm. And I figured if I keep my ears high enough in the clouds, I'm going to hear the voice of God. Mm-hmm. Well, now, at age 64, I've come to realize that if I want to hear the voice of God, I got to keep my ears to the ground.
That's it.
Because God speaks to me in the people who come into my life.
Uh-huh.
God speaks to me in the situation I find myself in.
Yeah.
God speaks to me in my deepest feelings. God speaks to me in my most creative thought.
Yeah.
So I need to live with this kind of awareness of what is God asking of me?
Yeah.
What is God calling me to do right now, right here?
So that means you got to come out of the upper room, huh?
Amen. Or if you're on Mount Tabor, that means you got to come down the mountain. Exactly. Because this is where God speaks to us.
Yeah.
Because I think so oftentimes when we think of a mystic, we think of somebody who's always living in the upper room,
right.
Or we think of somebody who's always on top of Mount Tabor.
Right.
But those are just kind of like footnotes in the history of Christianity. The vast majority of mystics are people who are not in the upper room, who are not on Mount Tabor.
Right.
They're living in the valley, and they're trying to respond to what God's asking them.
Yeah. So for all the Christians that stay in the upper room all night and all day, come on down.
Come on down. Like they say on The Price is Right. Come on down.
We need y'all. Come on down. Show us what you're working with. Oh, my gosh. If anybody has a question or comment, the 615-329-8810 is the number. This is a two-way talk program. But, because y'all know I will talk now, okay, for real. I think they are pretty clear on that one. We are in the discussion this morning with our returning guest, Father Albert Mass, has of the Cedar Break Catholic Retreat in Texas. He's author of a bunch of books and busy man, spiritual director and author. Today's book is Becoming an Ordinary Mystic, Spirituality for the Rest of Us. And when we come back, Father Albert, I want to spend a few minutes in Chapter 2, What's Missing, Self-Awareness Sabotages Sin. So
we're
going to spend a moment talking about that. And if you have a question or comment, you can give us a shout. And we're going to take a time out and be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
and being brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know African American men are more likely to develop and die from prostate cancer than any other population? Thanks to Astellas Pharma USA, Nashville General Hospital is pleased to offer no-cost prostate cancer screenings for men over 40. Call 615-391-4227 and make an appointment today. It could save your life. 615-341-4227. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And chapter two was where I said we were going to land and spend some time there and in a couple other chapters. Now, what's missing is the name of this one, Self-Awareness Sabotages Sin. And you start this, Father Albert, with, I recently told a friend about my frustration with the spiritual life. When I examine my conscience and name the sins I have committed over the past week or month, I notice I commit the same ones over and over. Boy, that sounds familiar.
Ain't it true, though? Ain't it true?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You say, I keep falling into the trap of pride, greed, and selfishness. I get caught in little white lies to protect my reputation. I'm not as generous with my time and money because I fear there won't be enough left over for me and my needs, and I am so embarrassed by my self-centeredness and fixation on my feelings. You would think at my age, I would have developed more creative ways to sin. Oh, man, what's this chapter about?
Well, so basically what this chapter is about, I think all of us, if we look at our lives, we tend to live our lives on autopilot. And because we live our lives on autopilot, we oftentimes get caught in committing the same sins over and over and over. And everybody, you know, everybody's got their kind of default sin that they kind of fall back on. And so I began to ask myself, well, why do I keep committing these same sins over and over and over again? Mm-hmm. And it suddenly dawned on me that what you lack in your childhood or what you think you lack in your childhood in the adult becomes the obsession. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if I was raised in a family where I didn't get any kind of love and I felt like nobody ever, my parents didn't love me, I didn't have any friends who loved me, well, then as an adult, I am going to always be looking in the wrong places for love. I'm going to start walking down some of those dark back alleys. I'm going to get caught up maybe in the sin of lust. But I'm going to always be looking for love in all the wrong places because I didn't get it as a child and I need it. Or maybe when I say what you lack in your childhood or what you think you lack in your childhood, because perception is just as real. So even if your parents and your grandparents, even if they showered love on you, if you didn't feel it, then you didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And that means as an adult, that's going to be that need. It makes a crack in your soul. Mm-hmm. And we're always trying as adults to fill that crack. Yeah. And that's why, if I could just segue now into chapter three, Jesus the Electrician. Mm-hmm. This is the wisdom of Jesus. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, and especially in the Beatitudes, Jesus is trying to rewire our thinking. Mm-hmm. And so if, for instance, I was raised in poverty, then as an adult, I'm going to be extremely greedy. I'm going to always want to have stuff. I want to have possessions. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus says in the Beatitudes, wait a minute. Jesus says, blessed are the poor. Yeah. They are the ones who get the kingdom of God. Or if, for instance, as a child, I felt like I didn't have any control over my life. Well, then as an adult, I'm going to be power hungry.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, wait a minute. That's not where happiness is. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. They are the ones who inherit the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or if, for instance, if I was a kind of person who, as a child, for instance, I didn't, let me try to think of the thing offhand again. If I didn't get, if I didn't, I never felt good. I never had my feelings of being happy, satisfied. Well, then as an adult, I'm going to always be kind of tempted with sins for self-gratification, whether that's overeating, whether that's too much sex or whatever. But I'm always trying to make myself feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Jesus says in the Beatitudes, wait a minute. Blessed are they who mourn, the ones who don't feel satisfied. They are the ones who end up being satisfied.
Mm.
So In the Sermon on the Mount that begins in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew, begins with the Beatitudes, and then it continues in chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is basically rewiring our thinking, because we think that happiness is about having that crack in my soul satisfied. And for most of us, that crack in the soul is one or more of what I call the four ego obsessions.
Mm-hmm.
And those four ego obsessions are self-control,
mm-hmm.
self-image, self-gratification, mm-hmm. and self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so obsessed with what's in it for me, self-concern. I'm always so obsessed with, am I going to look stupid? How is this going to affect my reputation?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm obsessed with self-image. I always want to feel good. And so I become obsessed with self-gratification. Or I always want to make sure I have enough money in the bank and all this stuff. I become obsessed with self-preservation.
Hmm.
So these four, what I call the ego obsessions, these four ego obsessions, each one of us usually has one or two of them, and they become the operating system in our life.
Hmm.
And so what we need to do is, because we live on autopilot,
mm-hmm.
we need to begin to stop, and we need to begin to ask myself, why do I keep committing the same sin over and over? And I have a little exercise in the book that helps people get in touch with which ego obsessions are operating in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And once I become aware of my operating system, my ego obsession, I can then begin to use the wisdom of Jesus
mm-hmm.
that rewires my thinking. And this is why St. Paul will even tell us
mm-hmm.
we need to be transformed
mm-hmm.
by the renewal of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or St. Paul says in Philippians, put on the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
So we need to rewire our thinking, and this is exactly what Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount. That's why I like to call Jesus the master electrician.
Yes,
and so
Lord.
We need to allow him to rewire the thinking in my life.
Amen. And you know what? Where would we be without electricians, Lord?
Amen. It's right for that.
I like that.
And you know what? Let me tell you something, Sharon. And the electricity that Jesus provides is always for free.
Yes. Amen. No light bill coming, y'all.
That's it. No light bill coming. It's right.
No. Who just a thought of that just gets me excited. you know, just to know you get it for free. Because you got to pay for everything nowadays, you know. And everybody can relate to that. Everybody can. Now, and let's slide into chapter 7, groping in the dark. Speaking of Jesus being the ultimate electrician, groping in the dark, walking by faith, not sight. On page 82, you use Job and his example as part of the story that you're trying to tell in here, among the other biblical characters and heroes of the Bible. Tell us about groping in the dark.
Yeah, so groping in the dark, really, what that's all about is, for all of us, there are periods in our lives when it appears
uh-huh.
that God withdraws. There are times in my life when I think that God has abandoned me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use the example of Job, you know? And so it's in during those periods in our lives, this is where we are challenged to live by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. And so there are periods, and this is part and parcel of every person's life. You know, I think sometimes we naively think that if I got my connection with God up and running, and if I'm on His level, and I'm really trying to live a great life, then somehow or another my life is going to be filled with popcorn and balloons and candy and roses. Well, guess what? That's not it. That's not true. Because when you look at the history of Christian spirituality and when you look at all the great people in the Bible, you clearly see that for all of them, there are always moments of testing, moments of trial, moments of what I call moments of mystery, where you think that God has abandoned you.
Right.
And yet God is not. It is just another way for God trying to elicit from us more trust, a greater surrender. And so that's what it's all about. And so to be aware of the fact that there's always an ebb and flow in the spiritual life and in our life of discipleship, that it's not, every day is not a rosy day.
That's right.
There are some days when the thunderstorms come rolling in. But just because the thunderstorms come rolling in doesn't mean God has disappeared, because God cannot disappear.
Yes,
because
Lord,
by the blood of Jesus, God has made a commitment to each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the times when our faith is tested, but this is also the time, Sharon, when our faith grows. This is how we grow in a mature, deeper faith during those moments of mystery when we are challenged to grapple in the dark.
Amen. And, you know, those times are when, you know, people have the hardest struggle of their lives. And, you know, they think that they've been forsaken. And the moment you realize that you haven't been, is such a relief. It's like 10,000 pounds lifted off your shoulder, you know, when you realize he has not left you or forsaken you.
See, I think, you know, part of our problem, Sharon, is I think all of us have expectations on how we expect God to act in our lives.
Yes,
and of course, that's mighty arrogant for us to say, okay, God, you have to act this way in my life. We have to learn to allow God to be God in our lives, and that means he's going to sometimes rearrange the emotional furniture in my life, and I have to be willing to allow him to rearrange that furniture. Remember, you know, the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah got it right.
Yeah.
Remember, Isaiah says, God is the potter, and we are the clay.
Yes.
And so we need to remember each and every day, in every event of my life, God is trying to shape me. Mm-hmm. God is trying to mold me into the unique person that God wants me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be willing to allow myself to be shaped and molded.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, when you feel frustrated, that's a sign you are resisting God's fingers molding you. Because frustration is God's way of saying, let go, surrender, trust.
Oh, yes, now, say that. And knowing that that's the case, I guess that's the darkest hour before the dawn, is when the blessing is on its way, and we just so out of patience. We just can't wait no more, Lord.
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, and that's the story of the resurrection, is it not? You give up hope. We thought he was the Messiah, but look, they killed him and he's gone. And Jesus is walking right next to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they're saying to him, well, we thought he was the Messiah, but he was gone. And of course, Jesus is basically saying, excuse me, but, you know, and that's the whole story of each one of us.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is really beautiful. And then the closing up here, there's a lesson to be learned from the things that are happening as we go back. I digress back to the beginning. That the Lord is trying to get our attention. And I do hope that people pay attention to him trying to get our attention and don't be so hard-headed and stiff-necked. So, Father, Albert, I know you know how to pray. I ain't even worried about you. but I want you to close us up on some prayer that, you know, thy will be done.
Okay, well then let's pray. Most high, glorious God, Father of us all, the one who created us, the one who gave us gifts, and the one who challenges us to be his hands and his feet in this world. We thank you very much for the gift of our life. And we thank you for the little that we might have. We thank you for what we don't have. And we just ask that you might stretch us beyond our expectations, that you challenge us to get out of the boats of our insecurity, and that you call us to walk on water and to help each other to grow in holiness and sanctity and in the image of your Son. And so help us to be wave walkers and not deck huggers. Call us beyond our greatest insecurities and our greatest securities. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
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 And I feel good about that. I love your spirit and your attitude and your love for the Father.
Well, thank you, Sharon.
I do, because you're straight up on the frequency. You on it. You just on it. You are on it. And it's just really good to hear an encouraging word, and especially one that makes perfectly good sense. Now, Father, where will you be speaking, or where is your books available and all of that?
All of my books are available on Amazon, and you can also get them from the publisher, which is www.ivpress.com, InterVarsity Press. So ivpress.com, or as well as on Amazon.com.
Excellent. Well, until we meet again.
don't let it be so long next time, Sharon.
Oh, absolutely not. I got my eye on you now. Thank you so much.
All right. And God bless you. God bless all your listeners. And God bless Mr. Lawson.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right. God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye.
I just love him. Father Albert has some chaplain at Cedar Break Catholic Retreat in Texas. He's just fabulous.
And not afraid to speak the truth.
Oh, no. Wow. Absolutely
Breath
not.
Breath of fresh air.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. And I'm going to leave a scripture here because, you know, sometime I might do that and leave one with you. This is Matthew chapter 13. And at verse 14. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, you will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For the people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them. So he's going to heal our land. He's going to heal it. And be blessed as your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people have longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So y'all heard it. And that's the parable of the seed and the sower inside of there, purpose of the parables. And I just hope that people stay strong and stay full of faith, and that continue to know that God is on the throne and is in control. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.